Today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, concerning the parable about the marriage feast. Christ had been in the temple in the previous chapter and had been teaching the people by parables, and this is a continuation thereof. This was 2 or 3 days just before he was killed. In this parable, he speaks about a certain king making a marriage feast for his son. This represents to us the great, the majestic God in heaven above, who made a marriage feast for his son, namely Jesus Christ. And he sent servants out to proclaim unto them that were bidden that they should come, and they refused to come. By this we must understand that God sent forth under the Old Testament time his prophets, his servants unto his people Israel, who proclaimed unto them the coming of the Messiah, and that in and through him there was forgiveness to be found, that he alone would pay the penalty due to sin. The prophets proclaimed this wonderful message unto the Jewish people, but the Jewish people, they did not give ear to the prophets. They refused to come. They likewise did many things contrary to God, to his love, to his pity and compassion, which he revealed in sending these prophets to them. And we find that God again in his compassion sent other servants, and they came and proclaimed unto them that God had prepared his dinner, his fatlings and his oxen had been killed, and everything was ready. Come ye to the marriage. But they made light of it. One went to his farm and the other one went to his merchandise. In this we have likewise that God in his goodness sent likewise his dear son into this world, and his son called many to go forth with this message. He sent 70 at one time, and he picked 12 choice disciples who likewise proclaimed this glorious message. And these servants likewise, they proclaimed to the Jewish nation that Christ was the only way of salvation, and that in his blood, in his righteousness, there was salvation for their immortal souls. But they likewise made light of it. They paid no attention to the message that God brought unto them. And this is still the damning sin of this world, that they likewise who listen to the gospel make light of this message. They have no attention whatsoever. They hear it, but it does not take any effect upon them. They are more concerned about earthly things. They mind them more than this which is most important and most necessary for their immortal souls. The call of the gospel comes to everyone, wherever the Bible is taught, wherever it is preached out of. There the call to repent, to return back to God, comes to those that listen to it. So it came unto the Jewish nation, even Christ, even his apostles, they brought this wonderful message, but they paid no attention to it. They were not interested in it. They didn't think it was worthy to come to, and therefore they went on. The one in his farm and the other in his merchandise. They minded then earthly things, just like Jesus said unto Martha, who was so busy preparing him a meal, and he said unto her, one thing is needful. This one thing that is needful is the last thing that most of the people think about or have any impression about it. Of these people, the Jewish race, they paid no attention whatsoever to the messages that God brought unto them by his servants. And we read in the next verse that these people that were listening to the gospel, they slew the servants that were bringing the message to them. How terrible! God in his goodness and kindness bringing to them this wonderful message, and they taking these messengers and slaying them. Oh, even in the Old Testament, the prophets, they had been many times stoned, many times they forsook the work that they even had for fear of their lives, and still some of them were slain. And as we come into the New Testament, John the Baptist, he likewise was executed, and Christ himself, he was killed because they would not receive the message. And if you follow the lives of the apostles and the acts of the apostles, they likewise were taken and were killed. They were martyrs for the truth that they professed and that they proclaimed. This is the way the message was received. And all when the king heard thereof, it says, when God heard of these things that were taking place here upon earth and what they were doing to his messengers, he became wroth. And he sent his army out and he destroyed these murderers and burned up their city. What did he mean by this? This he was proclaiming before it even took place, Jesus. He's speaking about God being angry and raising up the Roman army, for he has armies in his hand and he can use them at his disposal. And he sent this Roman army into the city of Jerusalem, and this city with all that were in it, the murderers that had done so many things to his servants, they were destroyed and the city was burned with fire. 40 years later, God visited this city. And this was called the Holy City. This was the city which God had chosen for himself to dwell in. These were the people with whom he had made a covenant. And because of their actions, because of their not heeding and listening to the messages that he sent to them, he became angry and he destroyed them. They were his covenant people. He had shown so much mercy, so much pity, so much compassion to them. But here, the end of that came, and he became wroth. And he sent this mighty army into the city of Jerusalem. Never in the history of any age was there such a destruction, such terrible things taking place as was in the city of Jerusalem. The city was filled with blood. Oh, how awful did God visit this Jewish nation by causing this to take place amongst them. Oh, when we hear thereof, should we not fear? Should we not tremble? They slighted the messengers. They made light of it. And oh, what shall become of us, my dear hearers? These things are written for us as an example, so that we may not fall into the same example of unbelief as they did. Oh, we are again gathered together this afternoon, and I, in my feeble way, am bringing to you the gospel message. Oh, may you not slight it. May you give heed to it. Oh, these Jewish people, they paid an awful price for this. And after this had taken place, we read God said unto his servants, go forth, go into the highways, and call and bid to everyone that you meet, come to the marriage, for everything is ready. By this we understand how that God sent forth his servants to the Gentiles. Salvation came now to the Gentiles. The Jews, by rejecting Christ, rejecting the gospel, in this we find God turning to the Gentiles. The Gentiles had never heard of this message. It was something new to them, something unexpected to them. And now these servants were commanded to go to the highways. As we all know what highways are, many people travel on them. So it was in those times. The people walked mostly, or they rode. on animals, but the Lord sent them out, bid them to come, rich or poor, young or old, Jew or Gentile, tell them to come in, bid them to come. The gospel message is brought to everyone. So he sent these messengers out. And these messengers went out and proclaimed this to everybody that they met. And they gathered good and bad, it says. And the guest chamber was filled with guests. The message comes to everyone. Some, of course, under this dispensation that the apostles lived, as we read like of the Greeks, they came up and they were seeking to see Jesus. They had in their mind and in their hearts a desire to know him. We find a Cornelius who was likewise a Gentile, who was favorable towards this teaching and towards what God works in the hearts of sinners. But there were many that were indifferent, careless likewise. And there were some that were caught in this way and brought in that were unprepared for eternity. They likewise were similar to what we read of the Corinthians. Paul speaks of them. They were terrible creatures. And still the message of the gospel came to them, and the message was blessed even in that city. God likewise raised up servants to go and speak unto the Gentiles. We read distinctly and very clearly in the beginning of the Acts that the apostles, they remained in Jerusalem. They proclaimed the gospel unto the Jews. They were set up in Jerusalem to stay there. They had it so good there. All the people came there, and all the people brought to their feet everything that they needed. And they were building up a church, a tremendous church in Jerusalem. But this was not what Christ had commanded them. They should go out into the world and preach the gospel. But they were settled down in Jerusalem. And what happened? God sent a persecution to the church. And they had a despair. They were driven away. And they had to go hither and thither. And in this way, the gospel was brought to the Gentiles. And God raised up the apostle Paul, who became an eminent disciple of God for the Gentiles. And God blessed the preaching of the gospel in many instances. Here we have the Gentiles being gathered into the church, good and bad. And this is the way this is represented by Christ himself as it would happen in time to come. So it is that God sends his word to everyone, good and bad. They are invited to come. So when this king came in to see the guest that had come in there, he found one there who had not on a wedding garment. Now, it is to be understood that when these servants went out on the highways and they stopped people and told them to come to this wedding, that they didn't have any wedding garments. They didn't have any preparation for a magnificent feast like a king would give. But in those times, these princes, these kings, they had a tremendous wardrobe. And when they did give a dinner or a feast, at the door, they gave to every guest that came in a robe. They were then clothed with a robe that the king had given unto them. And therefore, when this king came in, as this teaches us, he found one there without a wedding garment on. Now this teaches us that no one had said anything to this man because he had went in and had no wedding garment on it. There was only one that discerned this, and that was the king. And my dear hearers, we are all in the presence of God at this present time. And this great God, he discerns us. He knows each and every one of us. He knows our hearts. He knows what's going on in them. We are in his immediate presence at all times, but especially when we are gathered together for worship. When he came in, he took notice of this man. Nobody else had said anything to him. Nobody else had said, you better go back and get a robe and put it on. No. He didn't, he wasn't naked. He did have clothes on, but he had no wedding garment on. And because he had no wedding garment on, he was not a guest that was favored by the king. So when the king saw him, the king spake unto him and said, friend, how camest thou in hither without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He couldn't say a word. What does this teach us? What does the wedding garment mean? The wedding garment means the righteousness of Christ, the sanctification of the Spirit. We can't steal this. We can't gather this out of reading, out of preaching, or out of teaching. It is God that gives this wedding garment. But he had not went to the master of the feast to have a wedding garment. And so we may make a profession of religion. We may become members of the church, which is a good thing to do. But we are without this wedding garment. And being without this wedding garment, when the king shall come in the day of judgment, when we have to appear before him and we have not this wedding garment on, then we will experience what this man experienced. And how many of you that are listening to me are concerned about this? Are you concerned that you don't have any wedding garment? Your teacher is much concerned. Why? Because eternity is coming. We got to meet God. How can we meet him without Christ, without this wedding garment on us? We may have a profession of religion. We may even come to the communion table. We may have a ready tongue to speak about the things that even we have experienced. And woe be unto us if we have not this wedding garment. The king will discern this. We may deceive people. We may be very fluent in talking about religion, and others may even praise us, but this doesn't mean anything in the sight of God, my dear hearers. There's only one thing that he looks for. That's whether we have received Jesus Christ, whether we have put on Jesus Christ and his righteousness, which is the only garment acceptable unto him. Oh, how necessary that every one of us were concerned about this. Of this man, he was found without a wedding garment on. How many of you are concerned about this? Are you seeking for this wedding garment? Are you longing to be clothed therewith, fearing that if you are found in the day of judgment without that garment, it will be lost? The Bible says this, not me, my hearers. How necessary then to be found in Christ Jesus. And now when the king saw this man, and he spake to him, friend, how camest thou in hither? That teaches us another thing. Oh, there are so many people that say they love Jesus. They are friends of Jesus. But they're false friends. Their lies, their conversation contradict what they confess to be. Many say they're Christians, but they do not live as Christians. There's nothing to be seen about them that Christ has entered into their hearts and taken possession of them. They are friends outwardly, but they are no true friends. They are like Judas. Christ called him a friend too. He came to Christ and he kissed Christ, but his heart was filled with enmity to Christ. He was a traitor, so we may have likewise many things that others may praise and may speak about, but God looks at the heart. He is the discerner thereof, and he looks for his own work in the heart. And so this man found in this condition, in this place where this wedding that was taking place, he was spoken to. Friend, how camest thou in hither? Oh, it's a question for me and you. Have you ever put that question to yourself? How came I in hither? How came I to become a member of the church? Have you ever been to the communion table? Have you ever questioned it and said, how came I to go there? Had I any right to go there? Have I that garment that I need to come there? It's good to examine ourselves, my hearers, especially when we make a profession of an inward life, a profession that we are born again, that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And when the king saw this man in this state and spoke to him, he had not a word to answer. He was speechless. This teaches us also, there shall be many in that great day, my hearers, that shall come before Jesus and say, we have taught in thy streets, and we have done this, and we have done that. And what shall he say? I have never known thee. Go away, ye cursed, into everlasting pain. Oh, how many, my hearers, will hear what Jesus likewise spake to this man, and they won't have a word to say. Their conscience will witness so tremendously against them that they will be speechless. And the king commanded his servants to bind this man hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This then was the judgment that the king spake out over this man that didn't have the wedding garment on. Oh, what an awful thing, my hearers, to be bound hand and foot. Ministers, by the preaching of the gospel, they bind many people, especially those that are disorderly, that do not walk according to their confession and to their profession. And when they are brought under censure and brought by the censure to that point where they are caused to go away from the church, then a minister has bound them by the teaching, by the preaching, by the testimony that he has given unto them. He binds them so that they are bound. And if they are in this state and die in this state, then they will likewise be cast into outer darkness. Oh, what an awful thing this will be. Meaning to go in. I'm afraid there's so many in our days, my dear hearers. And I'm afraid sometimes for my own personal self what that will mean. Meaning to go in and not being able to, and to hear the king speaking to them, bind him and cast him into outer darkness. Oh, what that will be, that outer darkness, my hearers. Cast into the dungeon of hell, cast into a darkness, just as the Egyptians were, under the darkness that God brought upon them. It was so thick that they couldn't see. And this darkness, my hearers, is the place where they will remain. There will not be a ray of hope to ever get out of this place. There never will be any light in this place. It will be a darkness tremendous, eternal, cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping. Oh, not as you and I at some time. Sometimes we unburden ourselves, especially when we are discouraged, when we are distressed. We go alone. Sometimes we have a good cry, and it helps. It relieves the burden. There'll be no such thing in hell. Never. There'll be a weeping, an unending weeping. Never, never will you be relieved. Always will you be weeping, and you will be gnashing upon your teeth. That gnashing of teeth will be nothing else but an agony of soul forever and ever. You will never be delivered out of this place, my dear hearers. You will be like a wild bull in the net. You never can get out. What an awful eternity awaits those who shall be cast into outer darkness, eternal darkness. And what a weeping and what a gnashing of teeth there will be. Oh, that not one of my dear hearers may ever be given to enter into that awful eternity in this state. For you are yet in the time of grace, in the day of salvation. I hope that this makes an impression upon you, my dear hearers. Do not slight this gospel call that is still coming to you. You've done this thinking about the congregation, knowing so many in the congregation, knowing that there is no life in many of you. For years and years, all your life, you've been under the means of grace, and you've slighted this call. You've paid no attention to it, never made any effect upon you. It never brought you on your knees crying to God that he might save you. Heedless, careless, indifferent, we come to the means of grace and we go away without any impression. I know God has to give you the impression. I know that. But oh, I'm sure, even in my natural state, I was deeply impressed many times, especially when the minister started to speak, as I've been speaking to you, especially when he began to point out what our lot would be if we died in our sins. Haven't you ever been impressed about that, my hearers? Oh, may God impress you. So this man was cast out into outer darkness forever and ever under the wrath of this great king who became angry with the Jewish nation and destroyed so many millions of them. Oh, how many millions and millions of souls will be sent into this awful pit, the dungeon of hell. And now we find that Jesus concludes this parable with saying this: for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. God calls, my hearers, in and through the medium. Sometimes he calls in providence. Sometimes he sends sickness. Sometimes he sends trouble. Sometimes he sends close accidents that had you been there, you would have been killed, but you were just narrowly escape being killed. How many have had that? A call, a providential call. God speaks by afflictions. God speaks if some member of your family passes away, your mother, your father, or you lose a brother or a sister or some relative. God speaks through this, teaching us that death is certain and the hour of death uncertain. God speaks likewise through your conscience. You have one of those things. I do too. He speaks to us by this conscience. Oh, listen to it, my dear hearers. I am afraid most of us pay no attention to our conscience. And the more that we go over the top of this voice in us, the more seared it becomes. And soon it doesn't speak anymore. What an awful thing to be left over to the hardening of our heart. God speaks in many ways. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his law. He speaks through his ministers. He sends them to us. They are ambassadors of God, and they pray you as if God did pray through them. Be ye reconciled with God. This is the message God sends by his dear servants to us. And how many take heed? How many make light of it? How long have you been making light of it? Oh, my dear hearers, many are called, and many of the calls are ineffectual. There is no result found from the call. On we go in our sinful state. How awful, my hearers. Many are called, but few are chosen. This teaches us, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. When you consider all those that make light of the gospel, all those that have made a profession of religion, but their conversation, their lives, the tendency of their tempers reveal that it's not true. All many, my dear hearers, are called under the gospel and remain in this sad state because they make light of the message. All many are called inwardly by their conscience, and God speaks through the conscience to each and every one of us. And how many times haven't you and I gone over the top of our conscience? When it has come to us that that's wrong, we shouldn't do that, have we listened to it? Oh, the thing was so delightful, and we wanted it so bad, we went over the top of it. Not only me, but you too. How many times we have disobeyed the voice of conscience in us? Oh, my hearers, by continual disobeying this voice, then we are left over sometimes to the hardness of our hearts. How awful it is in this way to have God speaking and calling to us and we paying no regard to it. Many are called, but few chosen. Let me speak plainly, my dear hearers. Only those who are the elect of God, chosen from all eternity, are given an effectual call, a call sent by God to their very hearts, a call which is irresistible. Oh, what a blessing if you have received such a call, my hearers. Or you may think, I don't know whether I have received such a call or not. I don't know whether I am one of these elect. It's a matter of great importance to me to know whether I am one of them, because the Bible teaches me, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. All we read in the scriptures, the elect have obtained it, and the rest have been blinded. Oh, how many, even in the scriptures, my hearers, we may find that have been called, who were elect, chosen by God. We find even under the ministry of the apostles, we find Jesus going around the seashore calling men to be his disciples. He called John, he called Peter, he called Matthew. Read thereof, they immediately left all and followed him. A very personal, a very effectual call. He called Zacchaeus out of the tree. He called the apostle Paul on the way to Damascus. He stopped him in the midst of his sins and halted him. My dear hearers, are you concerned to know whether you are one of these elect or not? Whether you have been called effectually? Oh, let me then in my feeble way explain to you what takes place when God calls a sinner out of darkness into his marvelous light. When he halts a person on the broad road to destruction and brings that person to his feet. The first thing that God does when this takes place, my hearers, is convinces a man and a woman of their sins. Their eyes are gone open. They begin to see what they are, what they have been, and what they're going to be if they go on in this way. They are brought by conviction of sin in their inner chambers. They are brought to cry to God for mercy. Let me ask you. Have you ever done this? Have you ever felt you was a sinner against this good God, this kind God, this gracious God? Has the goodness of God ever touched your heart and brought you into contrition to his feet? Or has God gone a little further with you as he in his infinite mercy revealed unto you the way of salvation as it is in Jesus Christ, that his blood cleanses from all sin. You, a sinner, kneeling in your chamber, weeping and crying and knowing no way out, seeing by precious face this blessed Jesus and hearing him speaking, that he will in no wise cast out those that come unto him. Oh, what a wonderful mercy this is, my hearers, when God takes a soul in hand, and when he begins to reveal that he has chosen you. Oh, when he raises you up to a newness of life, you have to leave everything. You have to leave all your sins. You forsake the world and every form of friend. You cannot go on any longer in this way. Oh, you are brought by the grace of God to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You receive new eyes. You receive new ears. You receive a new heart. You receive new affections. Oh, what wonderful things such a person experiences, but cannot take particular notice of them, that this is the work of God. They are so concerned whether it's true or not. Oh, they would give everything they had if God would only say it's true. And God does say it's true sometimes. They are brought just like a little child when first born. It loves the mother's breast. It loves the milk that the mother by nature feeds the child with. So when you are born again, then you become like a little child. And the word of God becomes like milk to your immortal soul. You have such a desire for the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You would wish at that time that it was church every day. You can't have enough of hearing the gospel. You are listening for signs, for tokens, whether this life that you have in you is of God or not. Oh, how anxious you are to be upright, to be sincere, to know that it is truth within. Oh, you are a hungering, a thirsting, a longing soul for the blood and for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You long for communion with God. Any of you following me? Any of you know anything about this? Oh, my dear hearers, how sad it is that there are so few that know something of these things. It is God that calls his people. He calls them from death to life. When I passed by you and saw you in your blood, I said unto you, in your blood live. And you began to live. He saw you in your sins. He saw you in everything that you were doing. But he loved you. He came to you. He caused you to lead another life. Oh, he quickens the dead into newness of life. You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, what a change, my hearers, called from living in this ungodly world, called to live with God in communion and fellowship with him. Oh, have any of you had something like this in life? Oh, my dear hearers, there are so many that must say no. I have no knowledge of these things that you are speaking about. Oh, let me, in my feeble way, bring to you the gospel call. God in his word teaches us he has no delight in any one of us that we should die, but therein that we turn and live. Turn ye, he says, for wherefore will ye die? As sure as I live, he says, I have no delight in the death of the wicked, but therein that he turn and live. Please, my dear hearers, from the bottom of my heart, I pray you to get on your knees and say, Lord, you say you have no delight in my death. Turn me then, Lord, turn me. I'm a wicked sinner. Oh, let me not go on in the hardness of my heart. Let me not go on in my evil ways. Turn me, Lord. He speaks in Isaiah 55, and he says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Oh, won't you listen, my dear hearers? Oh, do not slight the call that is coming to you through this poor messenger. I love you. I wish I could win every one of your souls for Jesus Christ and for his service. Oh, that God may win some soul amongst my Bible class, that he may raise you up to a newness of life. Come to him, say to him, Lord, you say in your word, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Lord, let me hear your voice. Do give me to live. Oh, may you plead with him. He has never turned any away that came unto him. Oh, may you be given likewise to experience his loving kindness, his tender mercies, his grace in your very heart. May the message that I've been bringing to you in my feeble way take effect by his good spirit. If it has in your life been given that you have experienced something of this, then I am sure and I am confident, just as well as the apostle was, that he that hath begun this good work in you will fulfill it to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all for today.